Title of my message today is Knowing That We Know Him. Knowing That We Know Him. You know, I want to talk about assurance. The blessed assurance that we sang about, but from a little bit different angle. The topic today concerns eternal security, which I believe in wholeheartedly, and I've preached it several times. But what I want to talk about today is how we can know that we know Him, individually, personally. No one's disputing the fact that once we're saved, we're always saved, but some people doubt their own salvation. The title of my message today, Knowing That We Know Him, is the exact same title as one of the chapters in my Martin Lloyd-Jones book that I love called Life in Christ. And this happens to be volume 2. He actually wrote 5 large volumes, all on 1 John. So there is a lot there. So the scripture for today, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 John, and you can just stay there. I do have some reference verses, but if you just want to stay there in 1 John chapter 2, we have 4 verses to read there today. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 3. I'll give you a few moments in time to find that. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, then Revelation. So 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You know, it's surprising to me how many born-again Christians of many years do sometimes doubt their salvation. This feeling of doubt and uncertainty can even plague strong, mature Christians sometimes. I've been shocked by people that have come up to me that I consider very strong Christians, people that I really look up to, and sometimes they'll admit to me that they actually doubt their salvation. The first verse there, chapter 2, verse 3, that first verse, it could be rephrased. You could say it like this. And by keeping His commandments, we know that we have come to know Him. That's what that this stands for. And by keeping His commandments, we can know that we know Him. That's the indicator. You see, when we get saved, we become a new creation. We become a different person. We become a newly born child of God with qualities and characteristics that go along with a new identity. And a child of God will keep the commandments of Christ. Now, John's not saying here that we must keep all the commandments to the letter and never falter. He knows that we still have a sin nature that battles against us, because in 1 John 1:8, just one chapter earlier, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So John's not saying that we're going to keep those commandments to the letter every time. He knows we're going to mess up from time to time. But what he's talking about here is a change of attitude. He's talking about the adoption of a new lifestyle. As a matter of fact, he's so adamant about this, he's so convinced that this is the case, that he says in the second verse that if anyone claims to know Jesus but does not keep his commandments, that they're a liar. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus is speaking. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, workers of lawlessness. You know, there are charlatans, fakes, frauds within every denomination. But the ones that really stand out are the ones in the charismatic church, because they're the most demonstrative. Don't get me wrong, I love the charismatic church as a whole, but there are those who put on an act inside the church, but then when they exit the church doors, they become just like the world. You can't tell the difference. There were those in Jesus' day that were doing things outwardly in the name of Jesus, and God was honoring those things for the sake of his name and those that were sincerely needing the help. But on the inside, these people were not godly at all. As a matter of fact, they were lawbreakers. He called them workers of lawlessness. And by the way, a huge increase in lawlessness is one of the signs that the end times are near. Then he said, I never knew you. In other words, they didn't know him. They were not in him. So let's reflect a little on the terminology here. What does it mean to know him? Well, there's a big difference between knowing about him and knowing him. There are multitudes that know about him, but not that many who really know him. Because to know him is to be saved by him. To know him is to be living for him. To know him is to be blood bought by him. A child of God knows him. A child of God loves him. And a child of God obeys him, wanting to please him. To know him is to be in him. Look at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. So those that are in him can know that they are kept by him. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is saying, I know he can keep me. But now there's one thing we need to address about all this. There are some Christians who worry about their salvation when they fall into a backslidden condition. Okay, they worry. But when you think about it, it wouldn't be called being backslidden if they weren't a Christian. Okay? An unsaved person doesn't backslide. It's their normal mode of behavior, and there's no remorse. But when a Christian pulls away from the Lord, there's conflict within himself, and there's remorse, and there's guilt. He will have no peace until he returns to the loving arms of his Savior. For the Christian, being backslidden is a temporary thing. We are children of God. But we still have that pesky sin nature trying to influence us, trying to prevent us from becoming a mature Christian. Because Satan knows that a mature Christian is a threat to his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. But if you know Jesus, there is a bond between you and him that cannot be broken. It can be strained from time to time because of our actions, but it can never be broken. What John is trying to tell us here is that at the moment of conversion, we undergo a change. We become a new person, a new creation in Christ, and from that day forward, we undergo a process called sanctification. We go from being selfish to selfless. We go from being highly critical to being understanding, patient, and having a forgiving attitude. Now let's look at that verse number 6 again. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You know, one thing I've noticed about mature Christians is that they're never satisfied with their service for Jesus. They want to do more and more for him. They want to walk with the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. In Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So Paul in the letters to the Ephesians is saying, Walk as children of light. You're in the light, walk like it. A few years back, a couple of years ago, when I really first started learning the piano, playing different chords and all that kind of stuff, four songs came to me in a matter of 2 or 3 months. And one of them I thought would fit today. I just want to recite the words. I don't want to try to play it because sometimes the music can be a little distracting from the words. I just want to recite the lyrics to this song, and I call it The Rest of Me. How many days do I have left to serve you, Lord? How many ways are left for me to praise you, Lord? All my dreams were for me. None were left for you. Now all those dreams are gone and everything is you. How many days do I have left to serve you, Lord? How many ways can I show my love for you, Lord? I want to do your will. Playtime now is gone. I want to show my love in a world that is torn. How many days do I have left to serve you, Lord? How many ways are left for me to praise you, Lord? What can I do now? So much time has passed. I must dedicate my life to only things that will last. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please take the rest of me and mold me in your hands what you want me to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, be with us today. Help us to be the kind of person that we need to be. Strengthen us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Marcella, I need your help. I need you to sing the last song.
When we walk with the Lord, if you'll stand, we can. When we walk with the Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you for another day.